Hello and welcome to a Connecting Consciousness, hopefully a full one. We've had a number of short updates lately, so this is the regular one. And it's Friday the 1st of November, and I'm hopeful this will go out on Saturday if possible, if not on the Sunday. So first of all, Great Britain, or United Kingdom, finally an election booked for the 12th of December. This is a Thursday, the traditional day for it. And I think it probably will break the logjam, something that will not just have a relieving effect for all of us here in the UK, but I think politically around the world. I know that a number of European countries and their leaders have got to the point where they just don't want Britain there anyway. And that was quite funny because there are lots of people legitimately campaigning to remain in Europe, whereas many of these European leaders just absolutely don't want us anymore anyway. So that's quite funny. All right, so I want to talk obviously about, that is serious, but I want to talk about far more serious things. We did a very short 5-10 minute update presentation, which should go out fairly soon now. And I'm asked for a global, worldwide meditation for the fires in California and for the new fires that have just recently started up in Australia. And so hopefully you'll have got that, and I don't need to repeat that one. I want to talk about the very important political, military, economic situation across the planet. Every podcast or every conference I do, quite rightly, I start off by saying things are getting busier and busier. This one, this report to you now, is probably the most that's been achieved in terms of good forces trying to bottle up or hold back negative forces. And this is the frustrating thing that, as far as the major news is concerned, is absolutely not covered. And even for those of us who take a great interest, and for those of you who do the research, you might find information on one topic but not on another topic. So the full picture very rarely is shown across the planet. And so what hope or chance do people who, you know, don't question things, what chance have they got? Absolutely zero. So they won't understand perhaps the connectivity between something that happens, say, in Japan, something that happens in America, and vice versa. They won't put these things together. They will just see them as isolated happenings. Now, when we look at other websites, and I had a quick look at Ben Fulford's site, and I try and look at that when I can, there were items in there which I absolutely agreed with. And one of the things that jumped out at me was he's saying that the crash in 2008, which we call the Lehman crash or the Lehman disaster, and Ben Fulford's putting forward the view that there's another one coming which will be bigger than that. And I also, in a couple of podcasts ago, quite independently from him, said the same thing. I think that's exactly what's coming. I think that it will be a targeted takedown which will not have a negative global effect such as the Lehman had within its own specific field, or the 1929 stock market crash. In other words, the change that's coming is not just a cabalistic usual build the market up, crash it, buy everything at rock bottom prices and then build it up again, and so on and so forth. There's a lot more to this, and there's a huge amount of politics playing out. And I was really quite pleased when I read Benjamin Fulford's report on the, some time ago now, the Russian submarine situation. And again, Ben's report was the only one that I'd seen that matched what I'd said. And I said at the time that there was a nuclear device within that Russian submarine. And Ben's actually come out and said the same thing. And he's also talked about that the submarine was probably got by a, you know, a what he calls a Zionist Kabbalistic Jewish submarine. And the important point here is that there are some key elements at work. Now, with Benjamin Netanyahu no longer being the Prime Minister of Israel and the opposition guy has been asked to form his own government, this is a major shift, not just in Israel, but it sent a political earthquake right across that control system, right across the earth, where Netanyahu was and is a very, very influential man. And with him taken out of that position, a lot of the people who've been backing him are going to draw back. Remember also that he's facing criminal charges back in Israel. I think it's for fraud or something. I can't be sure, but it's to do with money. And he now could be vulnerable to these. So that's a huge shift. These people were at one point unassailable. You know, no one was going to be able to touch them. But that seems to be not the case anymore. So that's very important. And President Trump did survive a coup, and I don't mean a coup in terms of tanks and soldiers moving up to the doorstep. I'm talking about a political coup. They didn't work. And so the situation now is that that there's this, it's not actually an impeachment inquiry. The Democrats in the House haven't voted for that. What they voted for is the process in which they will hear the evidence. So they haven't actually triggered an impeachment inquiry. This is all about gating the evidence, talking, but nothing actually from the statute, from the legal point of view, has been started. And I think there's some truth when President Trump says that they know he's going to win in November 2020, and so perhaps they think the best way to get rid of him is through impeachment. Now, I will agree with that, but I think there's more to it. And perhaps President Trump can't be as open with the public as maybe he would like or people around him would like. And there are people who see President Trump, love him or loathe him, they see him as an obstacle to obtaining certain things that they did have under Obama or Bill Clinton or Bush. And they just see him as a maverick, as an independent who makes his mind up, isn't swayed by the usual organizations, and just, you know, goes along and does what he wants. So they would be quite happy for him to be removed, and, you know, they will look at any possible way of removing him. So an impeachment is also not just to be seen, please, as a political move. It's to be seen as a move by certain individuals who would like the office of president to be inhabited by somebody more favorable to them. Also look for actions being taken against huge multinationals like Google and PayPal. There's a great deal now taking place right across the globe, economically, politically. Even with Brexit, you perhaps might want to look at Brexit as not just simply this removing Britain from the mandarins of Europe, but from the wider control system. So right across the board, there are individuals, organizations, countries seeking to shift their usual position. The bad group that would always be together, the edges are beginning to come off it. The only thing I would say is I did read on Ben Fulford's site that he said that the war in the West is more or less over. And then on another part he wrote that the battle for planet Earth is still on. So I certainly agree with the second part. I don't think the war is over in the West. I don't think it's more or less over. I think some very important sea changes have occurred, and the capture of Epstein was pivotal, because anybody who thinks that Epstein was working on his own to procure, you know, underage children for key people is wrong. He was part of a larger group which is part of a spy organization purely and simply designed to trap people having underage sex, filming them, and then, you know, blackmailing them. And that is exactly what his job is. I do not believe Epstein is dead. I don't believe that at all. I believe that he's been moved by good guys, not bad guys. And I think that whatever information he had, that was part of his deal. And I believe that he's been given that information. Now, whether he has a new name, plastic surgery on his face, I don't know. But I am absolutely convinced that he did not die in prison, and that the information that he's given is of such high quality that there are some untouchable people, or they were untouchable across the planet, who now are in fear of their liberty. Not in their life, but their liberty. So that's the point. That it's moving towards November. I think in November, that's only now, it's the 1st of November, but as November unfurls, I think we will see something that becomes more obvious. And please try and join these dots together. Look at these things that are occurring. Try and get a picture of which countries now are beginning to cave in or move towards a certain way. So it's a very, very positive time, but it's a very in-your-face time. In other words, I'm hopeful that even the people who you know, wouldn't traditionally listen to any alternative truth show, I hope that they begin now to seek alternative information, because maybe it doesn't just take their bank accounts to be stolen, maybe it just doesn't take, you know, some huge paedophile thing, maybe all of the information building up around them, maybe that begins to make them seek and ask questions. We all reach our own truth through things that are relevant to us. There are people that in their own eyes or their own ears, they experience something which forever makes them change course. There are others that have things happen to their family or their friends. And there are those that literally just see the truth and they see through the lies for what they are. So we all come to that moment of awakening through different paths. But many people, when offered that opportunity, shall I call it that, go back into fear. They won't face it. They don't want to change their paradigm. They just want to go back to the normal life. And they've been offered their opportunity, and they've chosen through free will not to accept that and not to go down that. And that's their choice. But maybe they'll get a further prodding or a further chance. And what I can say is that it's becoming pretty obvious that something big is moving on the planet. And I do hope we can move away from this you either like or love President Trump or you hate President Trump. That is such a distraction. It's such a unnecessary use of energy. I'd like it to be that President Trump was the mover and shaker of certain things that took place on the planet that allowed other people to see beyond that. So as long as it's split like this between Republicans and Democrats, then that's unfortunately hiding the message. And you know, it doesn't matter who President Trump is. The fact is that certain individuals don't like him, and it's causing friction, and that friction might lead to some truth. So that's why I've always really, really pushed for much more to be in the public domain than outside of it. Again, in what we in the European and in Great Britain would call Guantanamo Bay, what Americans would refer to as Gitmo, there is a real possibility of some trials taking place which will be live streamed. This is exactly what I'm pushing for. I need people to see what's going on. It's no good, you know, an individual being announced as dying, and then, you know, in the alternative media it's said that they were, you know, assassinated or they were executed, they got rid of for their past crimes. This won't win the war of words. This doesn't convince ordinary people who haven't yet woken up. And I think that more needs to be done to spread the truth to people not just have it hidden. And I did on the last radio show explain why I understood that the authorities were sitting on the truth, because they didn't want a general meltdown in the influence of the United States. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm saying that I understand why where they're coming from. I'm pushing for more openness, because I do think that people have a right to know. I do think that people should be trusted enough to see the truth and make a decision on that. Okay, that's really what I wanted to say. Now I want to get on to some questions, because it's been a little while now since we've tried to catch up with them. Thank you, Becky.
Okay, thank you. The first question is from Gayu, who says, "Hello, Simon. Thanks for realizing that we are the ones who we've been waiting for. And just like to know if you are at all familiar with the Guardians race, who have given information to an Ayashadeen through a different method of encryption that is not channeling, and it's called Kalontic Sciences. And it's all in her books called The Voyagers, Volume 1 and 2.
Okay.
If you're familiar, do you have any insight into an agenda by the Zeta groups called soul robbing? Thanks again, Gayu."
Gayu, that's not a great. I think that person's English was possibly the second language. Well done, that was pretty good. I only speak one language, unfortunately. When I think the person says we're the people waited for, I think what they may be referring to is anybody who is physically alive on this planet at this moment in time. You chose to be here, even if you don't remember this, you chose to be here at a pivotal shift, a big choice offered to everybody, which wasn't the case 100 years ago, and it may not be the case in 100 years' time. So any of us who are alive, we are witnessing the most amazing things on this planet. The question is whether we're aware of what we're witnessing. The Zetas you can't say they're evil and you can't say they're good. What you can say is they're duplicitous. I know some American presidents certainly had to sit down with a third party, or sometimes with themselves, and attempted to make some form of arrangement or agreements. And often those agreements were not broken, but were on the other side, but were altered, and maybe in some cases the sub clauses were broken. So they can't be trusted. The soul section that's been asked for in this question here is about taking individuals and trying to clone them, trying to harvest them. They are part of a group that do not operate on their own. They are just the front spokesman for a reptilian group. It was always decided by the negative side that it would be very hard for any Earth government to sit round a table and negotiate with 8 foot, 9 foot plus creatures that looked like something that they'd never seen before. Very hard for Earth humans, even people who are, you know, quite got it together, to do that. And so that's why Zetas or other greys were used, because being between 3 foot and 4 foot tall, not having an offensive, obvious offensive look to them, although many humans find the shape of the head and the eyes quite frightening, but not being aggressively so, it was always decided by the reptilian faction that this group would be the arbiters between the reptilians and the humans, and therefore the humans would do a deal with the greys, but really these greys were just reporting back to the reptilians. Certainly, to my knowledge, a number of the American presidents were fully aware of that, as were their military. But the manipulation of people trying to control the soul is created by divine source. You see, people say one thing and another thing, but the reality is if all living creatures have been given free will, then these creatures are using their free will to impact and hurt others. This is the strange thing about it. But the reality is that they will never crack the code, because only God, the source, created us, and therefore these creatures are not at God's level. They can't think and be source, therefore they will never understand it. They will never be able to do it. But what they can do is cause pain, and on a localized level they can use advanced technology to entrap and hold souls. They can do that, but they can't replicate a soul. It's really important that we grab that. They can't replicate the soul, because only the Creator makes the souls, but they can imprison them or freeze them. So Ashiana Dean, I think, is genuine. I have had a look at some of the books, and certainly, although, as you quite rightly say, she receives her information from a completely different route than I do, what I've read, and I haven't read all the books, but what I've looked at is, yeah, I totally agree with that. So thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. Blue Jay says, is it true that all Israeli embassies and consulates worldwide have abruptly closed in this past week since Pelosi's trip to the Middle East? If so, what is the real reason for this? Mainstream media has not reported on this, only alternative media.
Beg your pardon, I thought you'd finished my thought. Quite right, actually. I was absolutely shocked, and it takes a lot to shock me, that mainstream media weren't reporting on it. Whereas I thought they would, because the reason given was quite an acceptable reason, and I didn't understand why they didn't run with it. They were closed right across the globe, and the reason given, the official reason, was that there was a dispute with payments to staff and the processing of the diplomatic ways, and that this was a financial issue. That was the reason given, which is total nonsense, obviously. And it's all to do, and I already just touched on it, it's all to do with the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, losing office. Because he's out of office now. The top man there has said to him, you can't form a government. I think he's the president, has said you can't form the government, therefore the opposition party. And it's really strange. It just shows the power of the cabal, because the opposition party, I think, had one more seat. So you'd normally go to the party that won the most seats. I think that was what the case was. But anyway, the opposition guy has been asked by the president, please, can you form a government? Now, when a prime minister or whoever is in charge, they can manipulate if they choose to, and they can sit on things, and once that person is off, then things fall apart. Let's look at the Clinton Foundation. When everybody thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president, a lot of countries donated to the Clinton Foundation. When she didn't win, they all dried up, which is odd, because if a foundation is a charity, it shouldn't matter who is president, you should give because it's a good cause. And the very fact that that all almost dried up completely showed that they were only giving because they thought that, you know, the president would be Clinton and they would be rewarded for giving. That's a reality of it, and that's what happened. So with the outgoing prime minister in Israel now losing his grip, there has been a complete realignment with all the politics that's gone on, and a shuffling of staff and a removing of records, and the close down was certainly to remove people who were in different places to get them the heck out of there double quick. I should think that shredding machines had been working overtime. So that's exactly what that is, and yet the official line seems quite plausible to ordinary and average people, which is, oh well, there was a discussion about payments and there's a bit of a dispute. but that's just a red herring. But that didn't even really get reported properly. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. There's a bit more. Blue Jay goes on to say, is it true that Pelosi and others with her were tracked while visiting al-Baghdadi there and thus led to his discovery and demise? Thank you, Simon, for bringing your light to shine throughout the earth and for your courage and steadfastness in doing so.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I think that goes for Becky and all the team. You know, we all believe in what we're doing and you know, we're determined to do it. And that's not what I've heard. There was the equivalent of 19 million bounty on al-Baghdadi's head. 19 million, that's a lot of money. And I believe that the CIA worked with the Kurds and infiltrated Baghdadi's inner circle. And this particular individual who was responsible, well, he'll get plastic surgery and a change in name, but he'll get a large portion of that 19 million. So I don't believe that anyone of that high rank would associate with somebody like that, simply because every intelligence agency that has a interest in it were tracking and looking. And it'll be like visiting someone's house when you know it's staked out. You know you're going to have photographs, and you know, you wouldn't do it. So no, I think that the CIA, well, I've been told the CIA worked with the Kurds to put someone in there. But what we can say, we can just go back to President Trump's hidden words. What Trump said was, well, why didn't nobody get in before me? You know, Trump's own words were, people were coming into my office all the time telling me, we got this one, we got that one. And Trump said, well, I don't know that person. What about Baghdadi? And so it might have been that the heat had been off Baghdadi. And with the fall of Epstein and certain information coming out, it meant that Baghdadi was higher up the list. So I think that is what's caused it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Charlie writes, dear Simon, thank you for your generosity, shared wisdom. Can you please talk about suicide while being manipulated by government and police, and willing oneself back to correct what in life couldn't see or get?
Okay, I think that's another person with English as a second language. Well done. Well done for getting it across. I've got enough of that, I think, to understand. I hope the listeners have. The whole point about connecting consciousness is not just for English-speaking people. So well done for doing that. I'm not sure that the word police is right here. I don't think we would associate that level of mind manipulation with your ordinary police force. We associate mind manipulation with higher military working with secret societies, religious cults, hidden organizations, some huge, large multi-corporations. You've specifically asked about suicide. I'm having to choose my words carefully because it's an enormously delicate subject. When an individual, for whatever reason, is privy to faces, names, happenings, information, that person contains that knowledge. And as long as that person is an asset to whichever organization they're employed by or is associated with, and as long as that individual is doing what they're supposed to do, there's no issue. But when that individual begins to break free of that control system, then those who are behind it become gravely concerned that that individual could bring the authorities, the authorities who are not controlled. Remember, if you're looking at layers, this layer right at the three quarters of the bottom, they don't know what's going on. They're just like the rest of us. So you turn up and you make a complaint, they'll go and investigate, and then somebody at the top phones down and says, you know, don't do that. So the ordinary police are actually generally not corrupt. So that's not coming from that. The suicide is a trigger device placed in those key people so that if they break free, then they appear to kill themselves, and a coroner or whoever will basically sign them off as it was a, you know, it was a suicide, and that's the end of it. In the Western world, once the coroner has said, you know, it was death by misadventure or death by suicide or even death by what have you, legally everyone just shuts the books and on they go. Think about Princess Diana. And if I'll keep on saying this, it's important. If you ask people now, all these years after the event, they say that it was an accident. You know, and if you say to them, well, what did the jury, coroner's jury, come to? People would say, well, it was an accident. Well, actually, it wasn't. That's not what the jury came to. The coroner's jury came to the conclusion that it was unlawful killing. Unlawful killing. And I couldn't say murder because the coroner said, we're not allowed to do that. The coroner said, the police haven't said it's murder, therefore I can't let you say murder. So the jury said, what's the closest that we can come to it? So when a suicide occurs, once the coroner says it's a suicide, then the case closed and that's the end of it. Look at Jeffrey Epstein. The world is told he's dead. That's the end of it, officially. No more talk about it, no more this, no more that. It's not amusing, because death is not amusing, but it's amusing how the system has been designed to protect itself, and how all the media just immediately accept all that, and that's it. You know, there's no more talk about it. There's no speculation in the media that, well, how did he die? How did that happen? Nobody's asking that in the main media. I don't get it. Now, how did someone in a maximum security prison, supposedly be on 24-hour watch, you know, how did that happen? It's just laughable. So what's not laughable is how individuals who have a whole range of positions within organizations, how the suicide trigger is placed in them so that if they go rogue, as far as the organization is concerned, they are stopped from doing talking or speaking or writing. The hardest point for these people, these organizations, are those in the media. Because if you were, say, Michael Jackson, for instance, or Elvis Presley, that you could stand up in front of a big arena with thousands and thousands of people, and all the world's live cameras there, live streaming, all live, so you can't stop it. And suddenly, if one of those people were to say the truth about the subject, you can't put a lid on it. You couldn't stop it, because maybe 20,000 people have heard that in that arena, and then how many millions would have heard that live? So these people are key targets to stop and prevent them speaking. And we can only judge from that perspective how successful that has been, because so many people are terrified to speak out against them. Remember that good organizations only imprison. I know in America there's a death penalty, etc., but generally speaking, you know, there's a due process of law. But those who work on the satanic side, all they do is kill you. So if you were a person and you were a bit swayed, you're on the fence, not sure what to do, and the good guys come to you and they say this, that, and the other, and the bad guys come to you and say, not only will we kill you, we'll kill your family, we'll kill your children, we'll kill this, we'll kill that. That's why so few people speak out, because these are very real threats. And the suicide program is purely designed so that it's rubber stamped by the system. You know, if people are being shot left, right, and center, then, you know, that would be awful outcries. So think about big organizations like Marconi. Think about organizations that have a great deal of scientists working for them. And then look back at the suicide rate of many of these places, and it's quite high. and look at people who believe in alternative medicine, trying to produce or sell something that is not part of the big pharmaceutical organization. Look at the number of suicides that have occurred there. Look at the number of journalists who are investigating either corruption financially or corruption into paedophilia. Look how many of those have died in a suicide. This is the problem with ordinary people who are not awake and aware, is they'll read it and say, oh, they killed themselves. And it doesn't go on any further. Don't ask any questions. This is the problem we face, that people are just accepting it. And they're using a cover of, oh, I've got a very busy life, I haven't got time to do this, I haven't got time to do that. And they don't want to face it, because to face it would be to see the truth. So it's a really good question. I cannot go on anymore because we've got to do other questions, but it is very important. Thank you. Right, I think we've reached that point in the show where I want to say thank you to people who very kindly donated, whether it's 18p or £10 or £20. It's a big thank you, and I want to say thank you to John, to Beatrice, Laura, Majar, Patap, Stefan, Robin, Melinda, Kerry, John, Drumset, Margaret, Manuel, Hannah, Silva, Andre, Leslie, Barry, R, Keith, Deborah, Brian, Alberto, Paul, Gabrielle, Janice, Robin, Raymond, Martin, Joel, Ralph, John, I think that's Philip, Darren, Suzanne, Michael, nearly there, David, Kaylin, Joanne, Lisa, Charlie, Texas, Gillian, Bob, and there are, I think, possibly a few others. If I've missed your name off, I'm really sorry. I'll endeavour to do better next time. Thank you to everyone who's been able to financially support, excuse me, and thank you to everyone who couldn't financially support but still wished me well. So that's great. Right, let's get on with some more questions, please, Becky.
Okay. The next question is from Max, who says, what is the true meaning to life? I wonder about this daily. Is it just lessons to be learned? It must be more than that.
One thinks of the goodies and the film of the life of Brian. What is the meaning of life? It is more about learning. Excuse me. It is more about learning lessons. It's about what you do when you learn. Probably more accurately, it would be better to say what you do when you're faced with something. Do you run away from it? Do you pretend it's not there? Do you face it and then deal in a way that's not right? The big argument about, you know, what is right and what is wrong. But the whole point about us is a journey. I suppose hierarchical is one way to look at it. Imagine a ladder up against a wall, and we are endeavouring to climb up that ladder. But you might look at the ladder not just perpendicular, but you might look at it horizontally as well. So we are looking and talking in a third stroke fourth dimensional way, although fourth dimensional way the time is different. But the reality is, I think, bottom line, that our opportunity that we've been given by Source to incarnate again and again and again is to have multiple opportunities to experience anything. But what do we do when we're faced with that? And do we learn from it? And if we learn, do we learn the right messages? For instance, something goes wrong, do we become very angry? Do we get cross with ourselves? Do we get angry? Does that lead to bitterness and to hate? Or are we able to let it go and move on? And in one lifetime, we might actually stay still or fall backwards. And then in the next lifetime, we make great progress and we move forwards. This is the difficulty about the soul not really, in many cases, being able to communicate with the mind. Because if right across the board, a person's soul could communicate with the frontal lobes of their brain, you would remember everything. And you'd say, well, I'm not going to make that mistake again. Or last time I did that, you know, 500 years ago, this is what happened. Because we don't have that, we are having to learn in a very different way. We're having to try to remember in a very subtle way. So my answer to you is that Source gave us the opportunity with higher consciousness than cats or dogs or ants to be able to make choices. Not just the choice to eat and live and survive, but the choice to have service to others. Because an animal is service to self generally, because it was never tasked with having to make those choices. Humanity, and probably things like dolphins, make choices not just about themselves, but are capable of making choices for a wider good. And I put whales in there as well, and there may be other animals that I've missed out. So the whole point about being on this planet is to learn, get the right answers, put them into practice, have service to others, try and bring change on the planet, try and use your life here to bring about positive change. Doesn't matter whether it's in a small way or a big way, because every little helps. That is what it's all about. Some people think it's about building a pyramid. I mean, you know, when they physically die, they've left a great monument. You know, some people believe it's about squirreling money away, and when they die, they give this money to their children, and they see that as their role. Or, you know, it's about leaving a legacy of some sort. It's not quite the way perhaps we should look at it. I'd rather do a living legacy. In other words, bring change by your interaction on a daily basis, rather than a physical pocket of something that's left after you've gone. So that's my answer to you, and I'm sorry if it's not quite as detailed as you'd like, but thank you. It's a really, really good question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mamad says, I would like to know if any of your parents were or came from Persia, Iran.
My father did. He came from a village or a town that was right on the border. It was called Persia in those days, not Iran or Iranian. And it was one of these villages or towns that would change hands between Armenia. So it was right on the border between Persia and Armenia. So, you know, I don't know, if 20 years Persia would claim it, then Armenia would claim it. The reality is that Persia was obviously a much more powerful country, so they would go through that. You know that he spent most of his adult life before he moved out of Iran in Tehran. So he was very much a Tehranian, shall we say. He'd come from the major city. But I think originally he was born right on the border. So yes, he was a Persian Jew. He was a Jew. And he, through that line, was able to claim right back to prominent Jews in the days of the Holy Land. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. Athena says, hello and thank you for all you do. My question is, what can we do or where can we go to be safe? The solar minimum is supposedly bringing about an ice age, which will make it difficult to grow crops, hence food shortages, etc. I also listened to Adapt 2030, David Dubine. It doesn't sound like scare tactics, as he provides history with facts and graphs pointing towards the need to prepare. I would appreciate your thoughts. Thank you sincerely from Ohio.
Right. People might think that's an odd question. It's not, actually. I can remember in the early 1970s, before the cabal totally controlled all of the world's media, a group of scientists looking at genuine empirical evidence in Great Britain anyway, and other countries, I think, but Britain's where there was a conference, made a statement in the early 70s that a mini ice age was coming. This wasn't a joke. It was absolutely carried by the official news. And for about 3 months, this was really talked about and made its way down to local radio stations, that there was a mini ice age coming. Then when the Cabal started to want to plan its own spin on global warming, this was conveniently dropped and pushed aside. And you cannot put on anything online without seeing some advert or element of an iceberg melting or a polar bear on a rock, you know, floating on something where there's no ice anymore, and all of these issues about environment and global warming, and the inference being that man, I'm using the word deliberately here, that man was responsible for this, and governments being urged to call a global emergency. Hold on a minute. 12,000 years ago, a large amount of the ice melted. It was the flood, what we call the biblical flood. And it's not the only flood in our history, but it's the most recent flood. So 12,000 years ago, huge parts of the world were covered in massive ice caps, and there was a melt and huge deluges of water. We've had lots of swings backwards and forwards, and humanity hasn't been wiped out. So what I'm saying is that I believe there will be parts of the world which will go through a cold snap. This mini ice age, I think, will see a cold snap, for want of a better word. But part of the chemtrailing, part of the backshot of all this chemtrailing, is to reduce the temperature on the Earth's planet. You can't sell global warming to people unless you're doing something to artificially increase the temperature. So it's not just CO2 emissions or anything else. It's all of the seeding of the clouds, all of the chemtrails, which are artificially trapping the heat between the Earth and that cloud layer, and then selling that to the media and to the public as a consequence of man's destruction of the planet and the CO2, etc. Now, I'm not against, you know, the point of looking after the planet. You know, I do get cross sometimes with some things that ordinary people like ourselves are forced to put up with, and then they want to build another runway on a major airport. You know, I've always said, well, knock off one aeroplane a day from your schedules, and that's probably equal to anything that I could do. But that's just the joke of it, isn't it? That the huge corporations will never be asked to make a reduction, whereas the individuals, who we're all very easy targets. So we have to, as usual, carry the brunt of it. Not because we can make much difference, but because it's about politically winning our hearts and minds. If we make us feel guilty about the pollution of the planet and make us in a position where we are faced with that on a daily basis, and we're talked about, turn this off. I mean, as a kid, I remember about turning off the switches, your light switches, to save money. That's what it was in the 1970s. Turn off your switch, turn your heating down, do this, do that, to save money. How that's subtly been changed now is, hey, save the planet. Turn this off to save the planet. It's just manipulation. The Earth is heating up. The vast majority of that heating up is perfectly normal, as are all the other planets within our own sector. They're all heating up. It's part of our evolution. You know, love him or hate him, President Trump has walked away from the globalist situation regarding planet heating. He doesn't fund them anymore. So they all sit around, actually, around a table. All of these people, climate change people, sit around and talk and talk and talk. But because America's not involved, they can't do anything. And they fly from one end of the country to the other to have these global meetings. The pollution that they individually are adding to is unbelievable, considering that they do that. Certain very wealthy individuals have been funding these climate extremist individuals, and they're talking about planet extinction, and they are being funded by not necessarily, you know, the usual pound here, pound there, dollar here, dollar there, but by large injections of cash from individuals who are part of a group who wish to spread the message. Absolutely don't drop plastic in the oceans. Absolutely don't pollute, and let's be far more loving of the planet that is so wonderful to us. But let's not fall into the trap of writing our own extermination because certain organization wants to use it as a plan to reduce human population. 2020, 2030, there'll be lots of plans that large organizations write, which on the face of it look pretty good, but when you actually get into it, you realize it's all about reducing the population. It's a fantastic question, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Audrey says, "Dear Simon Parks, on the advice of an American friend, here is my letter. After a Buddhist retreat with a Tibetan monk, I have felt a mind connection set between him and I. After demanding to quit, I could feel the monk trying to work on my chakras, on my larger past and my future, attempting to transfer some merit from some people around me and my being as an exchange. His current shape seems to be an energetic tulpa he has been creating above him. How can I set free of him? Thank you so much for your reply, Audrey."
Thank you. It'll be interesting to know who referred you. Like the audience, probably found it difficult to the interpretation on that. Could be, I can see the interpretation two ways. One, you're saying to me that he was taking or parts of the chakras elements with other people and trying to control you through it, or he was trying to replace certain parts of you with something from something else which he hoped would help you. In other words, it's not clear. I know you say you want to be free of him, but it's not clear from what you've said whether he was trying to help you or whether he was trying to hinder you. But we can push all that aside and say simply that if I didn't get your permission, didn't seek your permission and say, this is what I think we need to do, what do you think? Then that's wrong. The difficulty on this planet is there are a number of organizations, a number of individuals who are part of a group. It could be a ayahuasca group, it could be any of these groups. And absolutely, many of them are taken over and controlled. And because if you are seeking, an evil force is seeking to control individuals, the best way for it is to get them all in one group. So if you've got a ayahuasca ceremony and you can take over that particular group that's running that, then you've got all these spiritual people, and that's very important because spiritual people can be psychic. They're very open to the alternative world. And so if you can get five or six of those into a cave or a room, then you've got all of that resource in one spot, rather than having to go all over New York City or all over Japan or France to identify these people. So I've always said, if you're ever going to connect with somebody, do it through personal recommendation. Really important. There are some great ayahuasca places out there that are very aware of how demonic forces can operate and try and take them over, and it's properly run and properly organized. But I've had more than a handful now of reports from people who've said how the demonic side had taken over. And we shouldn't be surprised if there are some supposedly immune people, like a monk or whoever, that can be also taken over. The only thing we can do is you're going to have a talk to me. It's obviously private and confidential. I need to understand a lot more about what's happened to understand exactly what we're talking about here, and then I'll do my very best to help you. But whilst the monk side of it is most unusual, in fact that's the first case I've heard in 10 years, take that rank or that position out of the equation, and what you've said is very common, I'm afraid. Chakras can be two-edged. They are very useful to activate, to use, but they can also be hijacked. by others. And so that's interesting that you've said that. Thank you very much for your question.
Okay, thank you. Roseanne says, when I was between 5 to 7 years old, I remember seeing an evil clown on my second floor bedroom window, in my second floor bedroom window. I remember talking to something and it scaring me. I never knew that my sister experienced the exact same thing until 1992, 20 years later. She said the evil clown entered the room. I didn't remember that. I also remember one night, I was lying on the bottom bunk. It was late at night. I remember a flash of light and suddenly it was morning. I am still not sure if this is ET related. I have a terrible memory. Do you think it was just two children's imagination, or do you think there is any validation to my belief in extraterrestrials and love of the paranormal? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question. We wouldn't do this, but we could within Connecting Consciousness. We move across to MeWe, and there will be lots of different topic groups that people can join, and we could have your experience as a child with ETs masquerading as clowns, and actually I would have quite a few people who would dip in and out of that conversation. I personally have experienced that, so maybe if you haven't caught one of my talks maybe 7-8 years ago, I'll just quickly go over it now. 1963, so I was very young, and I would call it the shadow being, not an ET. Shadow being entered the room. That's interesting, you talked about being on the second floor. Unfortunately, it wasn't clear again from what you've written whether this being entered through the window, you're on the second floor and it entered the window, or whether it just appeared in your room, which was on the second floor. So I'm not clear from that. The entities are capable of walking through walls or walking through windows, and being in a tall block is no obstacle to them. This entity took a number of guises with me, and it took the guise first of all of a policeman. Interestingly enough, when I was young, I used to see Charlie Chaplin silent movies. The Keystone Cops was another thing I used to watch. And anybody of my generation, or if you're an aficionado, you'll know what I'm talking about. And so this image that I was portrayed was not of a regular cop that I would see patrolling the town I lived in, but of these odd looking characters of the silent era. So what happens is that these entities have the capability to enter your mind and find an image that is strong in your mind, which means that it has influence on you, and then they'll use that, and they don't change, but they project the will on you, so that although your eyes see something completely different, by the time that information through the optic nerve has gone to the brain, it's hijacked and this overlay is placed on top of it. So I didn't react positively to this policeman, and then the entity then could see that it wasn't working and then became a clown. And what I was shown in my mind was what we would call the big top. I think Americans call it the same. I'm not sure what France or Spanish people would call it, but a big tent with lots of children, and then the clowns, with buckets which are empty, full of feathers, pretending they're buckets of water, and all just playing around, and all the children laughing. And I was shown that image while seeing this image of a clown. What it was trying to do was to say, clowns are funny, children laugh. And it couldn't understand why I was behaving negatively towards it, when it understood that children liked clowns and children laugh at clowns. And this is because entities from another dimension don't get what being human is about. Entities from the fourth dimension, in this dead end street of energy, have lost the connection that they once had with what we could loosely call humanity. They've lost the capability to understand how we think, how we feel, and how we reason. Now, someone in the fifth dimension, they understand it. So a Palladian or an Arcturian, they get it. But this lower fourth dimension group do not get it. And so the reason that you're shown a clown is because they're trying to win your confidence. But they don't understand that a clown that appears just out of thin air or walks through a wall is terrifying to a child. And so I did not respond well to this creature because it's incongruous. If I want to go and see a clown, and I don't, but if I want to go and see a clown, I'll go to the tent, the big top, and I go with my parents. But to have a clown enter your room when there's no one else with you is pretty terrifying. I mean, I was 3.5 years old, and that's my first and only experience of a clown. They never tried it again because I really didn't respond to it very well. So what you've said to me is probably along the lines of the creature trying to get your confidence. I do not think that it's mass hallucination, marsh gas, or Venus. I think that your sister has remembered it. It's quite traumatizing, actually. I don't think it's an ET in the true sense of the word. It's going to come under two headings. It's either going to be a djinn, a demonic entity, or it's going to be a shadow being, which is a reptilian energy projection. We could really debate whether it's an ET, but I don't think so. I'd say it was an extra dimensional entity. So it's either a djinn that's played that game trick with you, or it's a shadow being. It's a really great question. Thank you for allowing me to talk about it, because it's hopefully educational for people who've seen these things as a kid and they wondered what the heck it was all about. They can walk through walls. They are not physical, they are energetic. A reptilian can't easily walk through a wall. It can use electronic device to do that, but these creatures are in the energy field, so therefore they can pass through solid matter or some parts of solid matter. That's a really good question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Now, we've had quite a few questions and comments regarding the fires in California and now the fires in Australia. And I just thought you might want to finish off by making a comment about this and mentioning the meditation for tomorrow.
I could do, but I could also talk about, there was one question that I did see where somebody had talked about things and they'd said, you know, you finished your conference or you finished your speech by saying God save the Queen. And they questioned as to, you know, why would you say that? And I think you obviously have listened to me a lot, and so you think, well, that's a strange thing for Simon to say. And I need to tell you that in Great Britain, if a person is disrespectful of the Queen, you can have your internet site shut down. So I could quite cheerfully call out a lawmaker, a politician, and say they were corrupt, or they were this, or they were that, and that's free speech. And you're allowed to do that. Now, you can't say that X or Y is a murderer or something like that. That's, you know, that's a criminal offence, and ultimately something will happen. But you can't in this country be disparaging or derogatory about the Queen, because if you are, then, and if that's reported to Buckingham Palace, Buckingham Palace will talk to, if not the top person in Google or wherever, but top tier, and the next thing you know is your post has been removed and you're told that, you know, I don't know, whatever they would use, it's not, you know, breaks our policy, and then you'd have your ability to post taken down. And that's a really important thing for me to say. And at the time I was talking about Jeffrey Epstein, and what I think I said was that the FBI had connected with the royal family in Great Britain and said that there were some issues that were going to come up which would come back to the royal family, and they needed to be ready for that. Then I said something like, oh, the Queen, God save her, because if you don't do that in Great Britain, you lose your sight. So these changes came in about the early part of this year. There are a large number of people who've had their sites taken down. There are certain terms for Jewish groups If you use those terms, your site will be taken down. So the reason that I said that was because I'm in Great Britain and I'm aware of how the law works. I hope that answers your question. Now, Becky's asked about the fires. Excuse me, coughing. Yes, I've asked for a meditation at 10 p.m. Did we say on the Saturday, Becky?
10 p.m. UK time.
So that's Greenwich Mean Time. Mm-hmm. 10 p.m. on the Saturday. That's the 2nd of November. And the reason we've gone for that time is simply because then it allows American members of Connecting Consciousness, or anyone who cares, to get into a meditation. It also allows people in Australia, and that'll be there early morning, but not too early. And I'm looking for love and light to be sent to hold back and stop the fires in California, and also the fires which have just suddenly, dramatically occurred in Australia. My Australian coordinator, her home is just 1 mile, I don't know what that is in kilometres, maybe two and a half or something, from where the fires are, but I understand the fire crews are at that location. So, and my Australian Connect coordinator, she'd had a power turned off, just like they've been turning them off in California. It's interesting, but we had a message back earlier today saying the power had just come back on again. So there are some newsletters coming out from my team, my new team of Connecting Consciousness coordinators. A great team, got a lot of confidence in them. Three women, and hopefully another woman to join, because yours is such a big country there, both in America and in Australia. But it's Australia, got a new team under pressure here with these fires, and need all good people to get out there and just do some meditation at that time. In California, you know, with all the chemtrailing, all the aluminum that's been laid down over those years, it's acted like a reflective barrier, if you like. So any fires, a bit like a reflection from a mirror, it superheats. So it's exacerbating the fires. And your meditations, your love, your prayers can, will, and do make a change and bring positive help. And so, you know, no matter where you are, please find the time, 10 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Saturday in Great Britain, and convert it to your time. And please, just a couple of minutes, whatever you can spare. Listen, lots of love to everybody. Thank you very much. Keep your eye on the news. I know that a lot of people say, I don't want to watch the news anymore. And I really understand that. But we sometimes need to know what the other side are telling us. We sometimes need to try and read between the lines. We know what the truth is, but sometimes these guys give away more than they realize. So listen, thank you very much indeed. Take care. Bye-bye.